This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, what's going on? It's Ryan. Here we go, another episode. I believe this one is 42. Mr. Mike Santos will be the guest. Mike just took himself a new gig, a big job out there in Los Angeles at CBS Radio. I'd actually been wanting to talk to Mike for quite a while. I've known him now for years, and when I originally met him, I would consider him one of the young guns in the industry, you know, one of the younger production talents coming up and showing some of us. I don't really think I'm old yet, but I'm definitely not young anymore. So anyway, some of us older guys, how it's done. Sadly, years have gone by and he's really not all that young anymore, because it turns out, well, you'll hear in the interview how, I got his age pretty wrong. Anyway, he's still a solid talent. You'll hear a little bit of his demo material coming up in just a minute, and then we'll hear the interview. It's a two-parter. And we actually have a lot of history together, not just how long we've known each other, but where we came from. So, yeah, we talked for quite a while, so hopefully you got some time built up, or you're, doing some jogging or traveling on a train or a plane, whatever. Hopefully you enjoy the interview. Just a couple little notes I want to make mention up front. Let's see here. The one thing I'll mention right out of the gate, I'd been having server issues for quite a while. Basically, the site was just way too slow, and it just got worse and worse. So I set up something called a VPS. I know very little about the back end of the web and how stuff is done, but it cost me a little more money. But the site, as far as I can tell, is a ton faster. So that's good. Bad thing is, and somebody alerted this to me almost instantly, I made the switch, and I think within 30 minutes I got an email, "Hey man, love the podcast, but I can't hear the Jeff Thomas interview." Yeah, it turns out anything in the first about 15 to 20 interviews, I believe the audio, the links got messed up basically. So I think I fixed them all, but if you stumble across a piece of audio at any time and you're like, "Dude, what the heck? Just throw me a quick email. I will fix it." But I think we're good to go. And if you ever noticed slowness in acquiring stuff from my site, the podcast episodes or just navigating to a blog page or something, it should be a lot faster now, a lot faster. And it better be, because I'm paying a pretty good amount more money for this little VPS thing I got. So hopefully that helps out. Let's see here. Two more things. I wrote a note here, and I don't know. Oh, yeah. Now I know. Okay. First of all, I'm going to do a blog post about this, and it's something I've tried in the past. I wanted people to always have a way where they could submit their own audio and information, and, the sad part of the business is more and more I don't just get emails from producers around the country or voice talent around the country enjoying their job. I get a lot of, "Hey, do you know of any gigs?" And it sucks, because I want to be able to help people. So I figure one way, if people want to take advantage of it, and if it helps, you know, send me anything you want to send me about yourself, a demo of where you are, who you are, what you've done, obviously resume material. I'll do a blog post about it. I'll link it on the Facebook page. There's quite a bit of traffic that comes through, and you never know who's going to hit it. And I mean, literally, if you are interested in continuing to work, starting to work, get back into work in, any sort of audio production related radio field, I'll be pretty wide open about it. Email me your stuff. I will post it. I mean, I can't promise anything more than that, but it's another avenue to get your stuff out there. And my site has quite a bit of SEO value, I guess, nowadays. So it'll at least get your names out there into the Google world, search engine world. So hopefully it'll help you in some way, and I'm happy to do it. So please just send me your stuff, and I will absolutely post it. Another thing I'm curious about, and you know what? I'm going to save this for the end of part two, because this is already running on too much. So the end of part two, I have another question. I'll also pose it in the email that I send out to the group that gets the information on these podcasts. If you would like to be a part of that, the contact form is right on the front page of my site, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Right on the front page there. Just send me a little deal saying, join the list, or I want emails, or whatever. I also want to say March Madness is is coming up. I am hosting this at the very first week of March, so within a couple weeks of now, the tournament will start. I'd say more people than not don't have a team in the tournament, because at the end of the day, there's only 68 teams that have a chance to play in this thing. So if you don't have a team, and a miracle of miracles happens, and CSU is one of those first four teams, of the 65 through 68, that's Colorado State, my friend, jump on board. CSU Rams would love to have you. And what better than to root for a team that probably should barely be in the tournament, let's be honest, and have them cruise all the way to the Sweet 16. Maybe the 8, maybe Final 4. And what if you were on CSU's bandwagon from the beginning here in this tournament, and suddenly they're playing for the championship? I mean, that's going to feel pretty special. It's worth its weight in gold. So, CSU Rams, that's your team. Get ready to root for them. And speaking of, yes, I'm a CSU Ram. So is Mike Santos, the guest on this edition of the podcast. And here's some special Mike Santos audio for you here.
This. What's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson.
Hey, One Republic.
This is Alice.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Johnny.
We're from Ben Coldplay.
Alice 105.9.
Alice 105.9 is your home for the biggest stars.
Hey, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Katy Perry.
We're One Republic.
This is Kesha.
The biggest shows.
Hi, it's BJ, Howie, and Eric.
Hi, Slacker and Steve.
And now. The biggest cash payout in Denver. Alice's Superstar Song of the Day.
You know the song? Win the cash.
This is Alice.
This is the sound of Alice.
Come on and turn me on.
Wake up with BJ, Howie, and Erica.
They're the best.
People continue to amaze me.
I'm going to look like Matthew McConaughey when it's all done.
We gotta give it.
Go home with Slacker and Steve.
I love Slacker and Steve.
Give me a fine line! Just
come on and turn me on!
Baby, can't you see?
Hi, it is Pink.
Hi, everybody, my name is Ty Cruz.
Hey, this is Rihanna.
We are LMFA. I want on Alice Trip.
Text below to find.
There it is. There's some of the brilliance of the one and only Mike Santos. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
What's up, dude? How's it going?
Good. It's going to be fun. You know, we're like actual friends for a while now. You know, a lot of people I talk to, I just barely meet. So yeah, we'll...
Yeah, we hang out. Hang out a bit.
Definitely. You let me come in and see your studios in Denver when you were there. That was fun. And we may have consumed some beers together as well.
Absolutely. and now that I'm out here in La La Land, we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah. Actually, hopefully I'll be able to get out there for the next Worldwide Radio Summit, the All Access thing. Yeah, so if I do get out for that again, I was there last year, then yeah, I'll definitely cause some havoc with you.
We'll tear it up a little bit.
But yeah, we just played your the main imaging demo you sent me. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's just very quality, clean, high energy, just great imaging work. Anything you wanted to mention about that?
No, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head, man. When I first started doing all this stuff, you know, they give you a whole bunch of sound effects and say, do what you want with this. Mm-hmm. And I think as years went on, finding different ways to utilize your sound effects to kind of accent the music as opposed to interrupt it. That's kind of where I've been heading the past few years, I guess. You know, it keeps the station sounding a lot cleaner, I think. And it's not so abrasive to the ears.
Yep.
So, you know, if I do anything with sound effects, it's really more of an accent type thing.
Right,
as
right.
As opposed to just here it is or a transitional thing. So, yeah, you know, it's fun and it keeps things bright. And, you know, with Alice, you know, when I was back there, they let me kind of get away with a lot before I left. So it's definitely a lot bigger sounding than I had actually intended. But that's all right. You know, happy little accidents, I guess.
Yeah, Alice, I lived in Denver for quite a few years. And we will get to our, in just a few minutes here, our major connection in Fort Fun, Colorado. But Alice is a great hot AC. And I know when they launched, they kind of defined the modern AC format. And I know they've evolved over the years, but I would say as far as, you know, if you're going to categorize it as a hot AC, it's definitely one of the better hot ACs in America. So, and you did great work there. I just wanted to pay you a compliment.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, we worked really hard there when Dylan Sprague came over, who's now the OM at Clear Channel Boston. You know, we kind of moved more towards that CHR direction without totally crossing the line.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came in, I was this, you know, green imaging director. I had no idea really what I was doing, but, you know, so I kind of got to fumble my way through it. But once we found what we were looking for, it was a nice little in-between type hot AC. We were kind of doing that mainstream hot AC stuff when everybody was doing it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we pulled it off pretty well.
Yeah. So, before we get into, before your career takes you to Alice and Denver, you pretty much started in radio in college, right?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't one of those kids growing up who recorded radio shows or, you know, wanted to do any of that. I kind of really got into radio because I was just bored.
Yeah.
You know, I was walking around the quad one afternoon and, my roommate was going to go down to the radio station and he wanted to work in radio and he saw me. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to the station. You want to come?" I'm like, "Yeah." You know, and that kind of just started. But really, I had no intentions of working in radio growing up or, you know, I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a, you know, like a music journalist and stuff like that. You know, I was always interested in music, but radio was never really an option for me up until college. So it's kind of interesting how that all really turned out.
Yeah. And remind or let us all know, you know, where were you born and where did you live? And, you know, what kind of radio influence, you know, you weren't a radio nerd as a kid, but what were you listening to as a kid and where were you?
Well, let's see. So the long story is I was born in Hawaii. I was born in Honolulu. But when I was about 6 months old, we moved to San Francisco, and I lived there for probably a good nine years or so.
Okay.
So whenever I'd be in the car with my parents or whatever, my mom loved Don Blue back in the old K101 days.
Yeah.
And she still does. You know, even I don't think I had the heart to tell her that Don Blue was moving over to another station. It might crush her. you know, so Don Blue was always on. But really, that's kind of it. As far as what I can remember from radio. After that, we moved around a lot. So we moved back to Hawaii. I lived in Palm Springs. Just before high school, we relocated to Indonesia, and I was there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And there was one English-speaking radio station I remember when I was out there. It was Hard Rock FM or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Jennifer Lopez all the time.
Well, what the problem is, Hard Rock FM makes perfect sense.
Right, yeah, it's just like all Jennifer Lopez all the time. And, you know, so I was listening to, you know, punk bands and ska bands at the time. So I'm like, I'm not going to listen to this radio station. So I just flipped back to my CDs or whatever. But I really didn't, I really didn't listen to the radio much as a kid.
So, you're at CSU now, at Colorado State, the greatest university on planet Earth. Go Rams.
Go Rammies.
Go Rammies. Yeah, I think I've probably mentioned this in the past, but not everybody really cares about everything I say. But yes, I went to Colorado State. I had a solid 5 years of undergrad, and I loved KCSU 90.5. Still, I will put that college station up against any college station as far as just being, you know, cutting edge, quality facilities, quality talent, just a really great place to cut your teeth. And so you get into that. How quickly did you realize that, this could actually be my career?
Probably about a year into working at KCSU. You know, from being there, it's one of those environments where a lot of the people show up at the radio station for the music. And I guess it's the same with a lot of college stations around the country. But probably about a year into it, when I started getting into production and I started seeing how much fun I was having in the production room as opposed to the on-air booth, I was like, okay, I could really do this. And then it was weird. It's kind of, I don't know how to put it exactly, but when I won an award that year for something I produced,
mm-hmm.
and that was kind of the trigger. That was ultimately the trigger. It's like, oh, I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. You know, it's always nice to find something that you know you're actually kind of good at and someone recognize you for it. And then that's kind of your stepping stone into, let's go ahead and do this.
We're the lucky ones in that we found the thing that we're good at and that we could make a living at. And it happens to be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It, you know, a bad day in radio is better than most people's good day in the office.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, again, I have a lot of love for that station. And, you know, if anyone's tooling around, I mean, they're still streaming online, right? I haven't checked them out in a while, but they're still streaming, right, as far as you know?
Yeah, they're still streaming. I think it's still KCSUFM.com.
Okay. Well, I'll search them out and I'll post a link here on your episode.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I really do have a lot of love for them, and I know you do as well. But let's move. You know, we won't spend too much time on college radio. So you went back to San Francisco pretty much right after college?
Yeah, probably about a year after college. I was doing nights at a local station, a local alternative station, just kind of making my way through it. And I remember on a trip home, I emailed Sean Demery, who was the Live 105 program director at the time, and just to set up a meet, just to introduce myself and stuff like that. And after the meeting, he said, if you ever plan on moving out here, let me know and I'll see if I can get you in the building.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was like, okay, yeah, done. Mm-hmm. I went back and put in my resignation. And 2 weeks after that, I was out in San Francisco. And I was, you know, it didn't really work out at Live, but, you know, that's okay. It definitely worked out in the end, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it didn't really work out at Live. We won't get into that. I don't really know what happened with that, but I was going to mention you were working with Fat Matt Ganzel, basically, as mm-hmm. his assistant. Is that true?
When Entercom bought or swapped stations with Bonneville, Matt, Scott Mihalik, they came in and launched The Wolf.
Right.
And so I was working as a promo assistant for Bonneville at the time. And I was I just jumped in the production studio whenever I could, or, you know, stalked Matt or anything like that. And, you know, eventually it turned out that when the production director job opened up, I was there so much.
Yeah.
And I was in the production room so much. They were just like, this is the most logical person to hire.
But you were on the commercial production side of things. So how did you make the transition into a full-time imaging job at the time?
Well, when Matt went back to Dallas, you know, he'd sensed a lot of stuff, you know, via FTP and stuff like that. And I just kind of pick it apart and, you know, I'd start making things and showing them to Scott or, you know, just trying to pick his ear or sending them to Matt and stuff like that. And when Entercom San Francisco restructured their production department, I was going to be moved around, I guess. And when it just so happened that the imaging gig in Denver for Alice was opened up and, you know, Scott put in a word with the GM over in Denver. She talked to Dylan, who was the new PD over there. And Dylan and I talked, I think, two or three times. And 2 weeks after that, I was in Denver.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty good. You know, I wanted to do imaging, and I felt like commercial production was a good place for me to start because at least I got the idea of how to write, how to produce, and stuff like that. So when I moved into the imaging side, it was a little tough, but at the same time, it's better than just jumping into the pool without having any idea of what you're doing.
Right, right. And then in Denver, you ended up imaging. Did they have three or four stations? I can't remember.
They have three FMs and one AM station. And by the time I left Denver, I was imaging all three FMs.
Was it difficult for you to go back and forth between stations, or is it just kind of an easy thing and you can switch gears?
Initially, it was. When I first got there, I was just doing Alice, and probably about 7 months, 8 months after I got there, I got the Mountain, which, you know, Alice, Hot AC, the Mountain, Classic, Rock, AAA, Hybrid, you know, they're two very distinct formats. So I'd run into occasions where either Alice would sound too sleepy or the Mountain would sound too hot.
Yeah.
But eventually, I started taking a lot of breaks. You know, I'd work on, if I was going to work on one, a lot of projects in one day, I'd work on one and then take a 10-minute, 15-minute break just to kind of restart and reboot a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I'd go back to the Mountain and stuff like that. And that was probably what made things easier to keep the three formats distinctive. Otherwise, you know, I just run into situations where everything started sounding the same, you know, or Cozy would sound like a slower version of Alice, but with just as many sound effects and vocal effects when it really didn't need all that. So
right.
I really had to start stepping out of the studio for 15 minutes and just taking a walk or going to somebody else's office and talking to them just to clear my head and get out of that phase.
Let me ask you, working, you had three PDs as well, right?
I had two PDs.
Was Dylan over the Mountain and Alice?
Yeah, Dylan did Mountain and Alice. And so he brought me over to Mountain once he got those stripes. And then Gary Nolan was my PD at Cozy.
And I heard Gary actually just left there recently. Is that true, or he's about to leave? I don't know if you follow that.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, he left Denver. Yeah.
Anyway, Cozy's a monster AC, but, you know, a different animal. Anything to tell people, you know, tricks or techniques when you're dealing with different PDs? You know, everybody's situation is the most important. You know, Dylan's stuff was the most important and Gary's stuff was the most important. You know what I mean? So anything that you learned about how to manage different bosses?
It's really just getting to know your boss. You think when you have three stations, you're so busy, and you are, but at the same time, everybody takes a lunch break. So, you know, it's okay to go have lunch with your boss and just, you know, pick their brain and, you know, just kind of get a feel for how they work and how they operate. Mm-hmm. And then that way it's easier to, you know, schedule your week out in terms of what you have going on. You know, with Gary, we'd get stuff in, but, you know, the timetable is fairly loose on it. You know, it wasn't as intensive as Alice, where, you know, you had to get something on for the weekend or for Monday or something like that. You know, so you had a fair amount of time to put together Cozy stuff. And with the Mountain, it went from a very, I wouldn't say like sleepy station, but very low maintenance to something that was very high maintenance by the time I left. And that was all with working with Dylan, because he was very proactive in going after what he wanted to go after. So, you know, just spending a lot of time with your boss and outside the studio, inside the studio or whatever, you know, you kind of get the feel of how they work and how they operate. So it makes things a lot easier if instead of just sitting there and just waiting for them to give you stuff and stressing it.
Yeah. And then at some point while you were in Denver, you got hooked up with the guys at Benstown, right?
Yep.
And how'd that happen?
I do the, it actually goes back to San Francisco. Wade Dennis, who is Chachi, our president's brother, he used to do affiliate sales for Dell Global. And when I was at the Wolf, we'd talk a lot. You know, he'd call and ask about libraries and stuff like that. And then same thing happened when I moved to Denver. He'd call us up, and we eventually signed on with Dell Global, but that's an entirely different story. But when he moved to Benstown, they were launching the Country Library at the time. And he had asked me if I wanted to launch the Country Library. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll help out with the Country Library. And that's kind of where the whole relationship started. You know, and that was in, I think, September 2008. So I've been with Benstown for a while now.
Yeah. You had to be one of their first, right?
Yeah. I think when he came to us about signing the Mountain, and the Mountain at the time was, I think, the fifth affiliate that Benstown had.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been a good relationship for the last couple of years. I went from doing country to just, you know, handling freelance imaging projects when it came through. And now, as of this year, I'm handling the Hot AC Library. So,
yeah,
you know, busy, busy, busy with Benstown too.
Yeah, absolutely. Do great work. You know, one of the main reasons I want to talk to you is you, took a job with CBS Los Angeles and primarily with Amp Radio. So I guess first, you know, tell me a little bit about how getting that job happened and, you know, how excited did it make you?
Well, you know, when it's a major, you're always a little excited, even if you downplay it a little bit. But, I saw the job, and, you know, every year I kind of poke around just to see what's going on in the markets and,
sure,
and stuff like that. And I saw this job posted. So I sent, this was, I think, May of last year. And, it just so happened that a good friend of mine knows John Michael, who's the APD at AMP, and she sent him a message, and he got in touch with me, and, you know, we just kind of talked back and forth, and the interview process kind of went on for a while. You know, it took a little bit, I should say, probably like 4 months, 5 months or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I flew out here a couple of times, met Kevin Weatherly and John and Jay Kaplan, who's the imaging guy for AMP, and, you know, it turned out that what they wanted and what I thought I could do meshed really well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got the call, it was like John didn't call and offer me the job. Kevin Weatherly offered me the job. And, you know, when he called me, I was over the moon. I remember I got called during the day when I was at work. And when he called, I went outside and sat in my car. And And I think after that phone call, I didn't go back into the office for another half an hour. Like, I couldn't. You know when you get so excited, you can't. You get fidgety, and you can't sit down, and you know you just you need to run or do something just to get all this worked up energy out. And that's kind of how it was.
The job there, you're actually, are you the commercial production director, commercial production guy? What are you exactly?
Yeah, my official title is commercial production director. And then I start working with Carson Daly on his morning show next week, I guess. So you can probably throw that into that, but there's really no title for that.
Well, but before that, though, so, you know, it's Los Angeles, it's CBS. You're going to be working with Kevin Weatherly, one of the highest respected programmers in all the land. And still, it's a commercial job. So were you even a little hesitant about, you know, taking a job that wasn't actually focused on radio imaging?
A little bit. Just a little bit. But at the same time, when I interviewed with Kevin, he had brought up the idea of working with Carson.
Yeah.
So that kind of kept me intrigued, because I still love imaging and I love doing imaging. But the whole idea that I could still keep my hand in that pool and with the Ben Sound stuff coming down to it, it kind of worked out perfectly.
So really, at the end of the day, there's no way you're turning down this job, even if they said, you know, at least at this point, there's not a single ounce of imaging to do. You most likely would have just taken it and liked it.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it was I just needed a change of scenery.
Yeah.
You know, I love Denver and I have a lot of great friends and close friends in Denver. But I mean, I grew up in California. I grew up in Hawaii. I need to see the coast. I need to see the beach.
Yeah.
And you know, just during the time that I was interviewing for this job, I had gone to Sydney for 2 weeks. And, you know, the ocean is right there all the time.
Yeah.
And so I saw the ocean every single day for 2 weeks. And that was, I was like, I need to go. If this job comes up, then I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really any hesitation. You know, when I told Mike Peterson, who is our PD now at Alice, about it, he was like, you'd be crazy not to take this job. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ironically, I grew up next to the coast for 15 years, and I'd be happy never to see the beach again. So, you know.
Yeah, we're like trading.
Yeah, right, right. So you get out to L.A. and you start the job. Tell me some of the feelings that were in your head or some things you were thinking about as you were either just about to start or, you know, in your first few days.
Oh, man. The first few days were a little weird. You know, it's like the first day of school when you go to a new school. You're not quite sure where you're supposed to go or, you know, who you're supposed to talk to. And you just really hope you don't piss off the wrong person.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like that. But at the same time, the staff at AMP were so nice and welcoming and stuff like that. It just felt like a natural transition. I felt like, honestly, I was just moving to a different station within the same company. You know, it was... The hardest part, I think, aside from that initial anxiety, was just getting used to new systems.
Let me jump in real quick and ask you something. I have an opinion on this. Now, while Denver is a great town, it's a pretty good radio market, and you know, but it's what is it like 19, 20, something like
19
that?
19 or 20, something like that. Yeah.
Did you know what's your observation in difference between the people and their mentality, just kind of the way they are in market 20 versus market 2 or 3? What
Radio
the hell is
wise?
LA? What the hell is LA 2 or 3? I forgot.
2.
Yeah.
LA's 2.
So, you know, I don't want to put any thoughts into your mind or any words into your mouth, but do you have any observations on the types of people? Yeah, the radio wise, I'm talking all sides, sales, on-air talent, production people, management, everything.
From what I've seen, at least with our stations, there's not a lot of difference.
The
programming staff, you know, we're all here to have fun, and we all treat radio as fun, you know, especially with the AMP staff, and you know, and that was kind of the same vibe I got with the Alice staff. You know, we're very aggressive, and we want to win, but at the same time, we know that this is a fun job, and we still treat it like it's a fun job. So we all work the extra hours, and we don't think twice about it because we're still having fun, like hanging out and working with the staff, and it's nice to have a staff that's very cohesive that way, that all have the same mindset.
What about in ego? Have you noticed any difference in the types of egos you deal with, either in Denver or LA, or between Denver and LA?
Not really. But at the same time, I think ego transcends markets. I've worked in San Francisco, and you deal with egos there. But you get that same feeling when you're in Denver, or even when you're in Fort Collins. There was you get some egos, but that's, there's really not much difference. I think people like to put a huge put a lot of weight on market size and stuff like that. But honestly, radio's the same everywhere. the only people that pay attention to market size are the people in radio. But the fact that, outside of the industry, radio is just radio to everybody else. And, the same problems that show up in market, 20 are in market 4 or in market 2 or even in market 123,
right. It's
the same problems, some run more efficiently than others, but at the end of the day, you still deal with copy issues from AEs. You still deal with, production orders coming in late or, last minute promos or anything like that, So I think a lot of it transcends market size. I think for us as industry people, we kind of put a lot of pressure we pay a lot of attention to market just, because they're nice and numbers are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a different opinion, but I'm not going to get into it now because I wanted to, I want to get one more question before we take a quick break. And then we're going to hear some of your amazing Carson Daly imaging, but, talk about a little bit about time management. Cause, obviously you're doing now the commercial production. You have the Carson Daly stuff coming up, tons of work with Benstown. And then I know you have, I'm sure, some of your own. Have you found a problem managing your time? Have you just been, how's that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's only because I want to do everything. So I'm pretty terrible at time management, but for AMP has to be first and foremost, that's number one priority for me because that's my everyday job.
Right.
And Benstown, I do the Hot AC library with Benstown. So I'll update that library twice a week, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of put myself on a schedule, when it comes to freelance stuff and working at home with all the distractions of working at home, it's good to keep yourself on a schedule. So, with Benstown, it'll be Tuesday, Thursday nights. I'll work on their stuff. And then with other freelance stuff that comes in, I'll do their stuff as according to their timetable. So, thankfully I work for a couple stations outside of the market, outside of LA, just contract wise that are very efficient with their time management. So they send me stuff as early as they can. So
yeah.
It gives me a few days to work on it.
Yeah.
So it definitely makes things easier. I think the toughest part was moving to a new city in terms of time management, because I just want to go everywhere. I want to go see Runyon Canyon. I want to go see Griffith Observatory and go to the beach and go check out my neighborhood and stuff like that. And sometimes I have to settle down and say, okay, you can do that tomorrow, but you got to get this stuff done first.
You can go to the Hyperion in El Segundo. I grew up very close to there.
Oh, really? Dude, I live in Culver. I'm like 20 minutes from there.
Nice. I think the Beach Boys started in Culver City, so that's also good.
Yeah, Culver's a sweet little town, man. It's Sony Studios are right here, so there's a very old Hollywood feel to it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. But yeah, that's the hardest part, is trying to find a way to balance getting all your work done with playing tourist.
Cool.
LA.
Cool. Part one is done. We're going to come back. Here's some Carson Daly imaging, and part two coming up with Mike Santos.
The producers